You thought Millard, Kyprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Another day, another new set. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on the Sportsnet Radio Network and simulcast on Sportsnet in the United States on the NHL.com and in 30 NHL dressing rooms across North America. Darren Millard along with Nick Kyprios and Doug McLean looking ahead to a 9-game night in the NHL and reflecting on some interesting performances last night in a 4-gamer on Thanksgiving and Columbus Day. A great quote from Teddy Nolan, great in the sense that it stirs up some controversy. And, of course, everybody's talking about what's happening in Florida off the ice. So you guys comfortable here? We're down at our new NHL location.
Isn't the thing to do is to name it? In this building, don't you go like Studio 41 or
Studio 41? We are Studio 41.
We 42A, are. This is.
So, 40, sorry?
42A.
But this is nicknamed the bubble, actually, around here.
Oh, is it?
Is where we are.
The bubble. I'm on the bubble.
It's the only.
You're always on the bubble.
It's the only enclosed studio of all the looks that we have in this marvelous new venue. This is the only one that is independent and can be sort of soundproof from other operations. So you're back from Florida, Doug?
Yes. I started working this morning at 4:45 a.m.
No, you woke up.
No. My driver to Miami Airport wanted to know all about the Flyers and the goaltending situation with the Flyers and Drew. And I said, when's the last time you saw them play? He said, I think Bernie Parent was playing goal the last time I saw them play. I went to the game in Florida last night. And
announced crowd of 7,000.
Yes, announced at a little over 7,000. People were asking me how many did I think were there last night. I would say 3,500.
Well, honestly,
it was awful.
If the crowd's that bad, why didn't you just count them individually?
I probably could have, but I was, you know what? I had a special night last night. I went to the game because I wanted to see my great friend Brian Murray, and I got to spend a half hour before the game with him in the intermissions with Brian, and I got to talk to Bill Torrey, who's also not doing great health-wise. So it was a great night. It was an abysmal crowd. It was a disappointing crowd.
Okay, you've been there, and you've seen it on the successful side. What do we down to here, that it's a bad market or it's just been bad team all these years and they've lost interest? Is it as simple as them getting their young players to be stars in this league and they will, as they say, build it and they will come?
Guys, what have they made the playoffs once in 18 years?
So the answer is yes.
Made the playoffs.
Win yes, and you're okay.
But you make the playoffs once. Tell me a market other than a handful where you can miss the playoffs for 18 years, not even be in the race. I should say make it once in 18 years. I mean, I was the second coach there. Joar Glantz, the 13th coach. There's 11 coaches. How many GMs? Like, what fans would support that? So, and I said, Brian Murray and I had a conversation and a lot of people in the press, this isn't about winning a round or making the playoffs. This is, they've got to get some sustained winning to get the people back. How do you blame the fans for this?
They're not papering the house anymore, right?
They're not papering the house. And I guess that's a positive. But, and I don't know how much paper.
That shows Broward County and
right.
Local politicians exactly how many people.
A contract.
Just to be fair, and people are going to say, Florida, not going to work. 17,622 in Tampa Bay last night.
Yes. And look, they've had winning. But it's like, you know, a friend of mine in Florida, he buys 4-season tickets, and they would give him 4 free ones. So he ends up with 8-season tickets for the price of 4. I mean, so they papered the house, I guess. It's all about the product. And let's hope the product will improve. I watched the kid last night, Ekblad, play 22 minutes, second most ice time amongst defensemen last night for an 18-year-old.
Can't score.
And it was just, look, how do you get up for a game when you see that? It's like a house league game, guys, last night.
Easy on the comparisons. because Teddy Nolan's in a heap of trouble over that one.
Went through the same thing at Hartford, where you come out and there's 5,500 people, and you're supposed to be a pro, and you're and you know, I think Gerard mentioned it that you just got to go out there and play and not think about it, not worry about it. But you know, you lose a bit of something.
You know,
you lose
guys,
a bit of something as a player when you step out and that's your home rink.
If I'm not mistaken, that team was sold out for 5 consecutive years of sellouts. You know, at least 4. You know, in that 4-5 year range where they were sold out every night. So, and the team was having some success. But I'm sorry, you can blame it all on anything you want, but until there's a product, and I like some of their young kids.
Come on, Barkov, Ekblad.
I like some of their kids, but
Huberdeau, I mean, come on.
But
there's some real talented guys coming up
but
here.
But you can't get it so that the veterans, you sign veterans that are all pretty good players. David Bolin's a good player. I couldn't find him on the ice last night till he got a penalty or he created a penalty.
They don't seem to have trouble getting guys to go
there. No, but it's like they've got to get the kids hitting on all cylinders. The kids have got, like, the good Bransons and Huberdeau. They've got to take steps. And then the veterans have got to become a group. It just seems that they can't get it going. The kids are going well, the veterans are awful. The veterans are going and the kids are struggling. So they got to find a way. And I hope Luongo can help solidify it. But
nobody's talking about Ottawa's win, though. That's the disappointing part.
Yeah. And they're on a, you know, they finished a pretty good road trip.
3 stars coming up a little bit on Hockey Central. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Simulcast on Sportsnet. Want to just send a shout out, guys. New digs here. Brett Armstrong, Tony Spagnano, Cam Thompson, Jen Rolnick, back at the shop, Glenn Torrance. That's the engineering and operating group that got this thing going for us. So we're
how's it
big
sound?
Shout out to him.
How's it sound?
Sounding good to me.
Before we shout out, we better check the people, see if they like it.
I thought you were off Twitter.
Anaheim blows away Buffalo. Stamkos obliterates Montreal, and Danny Briere scores with half a second to go
to
beat Boston.
Just one more comment before we leave. The Brian Murray and Pierre Dorion, the assistant GM, did make a comment. Is there any chance we could talk about Ottawa just a little bit? And I said, it's not us. I mean, it's Kip and I would love to talk about Ottawa.
They opened up our show indirectly with the Florida crowd.
Ryan just wanted to get the word to you. He said, you know, you're old friends. Both you guys are his friends. Could you just talk about Ottawa a little more? I told him I would try to work on it.
There might be times during the season where he does not want us to talk about Ottawa.
He meant positively.
There might be half the league might feel the same way.
They've got some pieces there. I mean, Mark Stone's a guy that has proven that he can put the puck in the net.
You know what?
Can he be a top 6 guy?
You know what bothered me about their game last night? Funny, Brian, I too fancy. Like, Turris looks like a player, guys. He's got speed.
Oh, great
and
pass on the, but on they the just, MacArthur
and,
goal.
Yes.
Like, and, that's a
yes,
great.
And Carlson and him. But they're just a little bit, cute. You know, they work, they're working hard. They've got some great talent in certain pieces. They just were a little cute last night trying to make that extra move,
you
know?
What, though, that last 5 minutes of the hockey game, you would have thought Ottawa was behind.
Yeah.
And that's the other concerning thing for Florida here is that, you know, the Smith line had a great pressure shift with about 4 minutes to go, and you're watching the thing going, okay, which team's now trying to tie the game up?
You know, MacArthur's become a real solid player. You know, he was a good player in Toronto, in and out, but he goes there,
in and out, and Mac,
he's found a niche there.
You know, for these players, and I put Mason Raymond in the same thing, over 82 games, these guys will help you.
Yep.
They will help you. They'll find a way to contribute. But MacArthur was a healthy scratch when it mattered most.
Yep.
And when things get tough, you hope that they can find a way to just add that element.
But
in
you don't think Clark MacArthur or Mason Raymond would help the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I think he's matured. I think Clark
MacArthur
is matured.
I'm just saying in general, they're NHL players, Darren. They are. But these two guys in the past, when it comes down to that gritty hockey or a best of 7 series and you have to play a certain way, they at times find themselves a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
That's all.
Guys, Carlson's fun to watch. You know, this guy's I mean, that's not telling any fans anything they don't know, but to watch him live is pretty
special. My favorite part about, and this will come across as a little goofy, but I love it when he gets caught.
Yeah.
and chases down the guy on the breakaway.
I don't think the coach is really...
No, they don't like it, but you really get an idea of his speed. Nine games coming up tonight. You see the likes of James Reimer is going to go back in for the Toronto Maple Leafs as they host the Colorado Avalanche, who are coming off their first win yesterday in the Columbus matinee against the Boston Bruins, who today, as I link us all together, signed Simon Gagné to a one-year contract, $600,000. Obviously, Boston needs some goal-scoring help right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, watching the game yesterday, and it's easy to say Boychuk is a big loss, but guys, look what he's done on the island with just getting some points, and he's a real important guy there. And it's easy to say, like, I'm not blaming Pete Chiarelli. He's been in a tough situation, but the Sagan loss, it's they got to get some of these Riley Smiths and these guys scoring.
Boychuk really throws them for a loop here because he mentally was legitimately their third best defenseman.
Yeah.
Right. So I watch Briere all in front of the net by himself with 0.3 seconds on the game winning goal. And it's Seidenberg on the ice and Bartkowski on the ice.
Yeah.
And don't know what happened, whether Chara just got off the ice or I didn't watch the extent of the last 5 minutes, but when you have that type of hole and you can't fill it because of the salary cap, 0.3, I think.
0.3 seconds.
0.3.
I'll tell you,
That's a devastating blow to this team in terms of the depth.
We saw it in the playoffs firsthand, Krejci, where he couldn't find his offense in the playoffs, in the Montreal series and prior. But he ended, I don't know, 3 assists or something. He's got to be a lightning rod for them. He's got to be a star. And he's got to be able to create
a jump.
Yeah, I mean, he and Lucic and Riley Smith should be a real good line. So it'll be interesting to see, how it comes. But, are they reeling a little? I don't blame Pete Chiarelli. He's up against it with the cap. It's frustrating that Iginla's bonuses click in this year.
And he's not there.
That is a killer.
And it costs you a Boychuk.
Yeah, it's a killer.
Just careful getting too far away from the mic.
Oh. That took you, 7 minutes, 8 minutes? You're going to be saying that all year.
We have six
you're
teams.
Too close to it.
Six teams that are winless in the National Hockey League. Five of them will play tonight. And good news for either Buffalo or Carolina because they face off against each other. So somebody out of that, because the way things are going in Buffalo and Carolina, it might be a while before they beat somebody other than each other. But Buffalo gets absolutely owned by Anaheim. And let's bring in Ted Nolan now. They lose on the scoreboard. They're dominated in the shot clock. And this is what the Buffalo Sabre head coach said about his team's performance in compared to what is a powerhouse in the Western Conference. Here's Ted Nolan.
Sometimes you have nothing good to say. It's better not to say too much, especially after an outing like this. I mean, I was like a NHL team playing against a peewee team. They dominated us from start to finish. They did all the right things, and we did everything that we could do wrong, we did wrong.
So he says he was fine on that quote.
He listened to himself.
Fine.
Take his own advice.
Take your own advice and say, better not to say too much. And
End it.
But boom. Then he throws in the peewee comment. And
it's a heck of a peewee team. Well, I don't know any peewee teams that can stay within
the danger on that.
Are you talking AAA?
The danger of that. No, the danger of that is who are you talking to?
Yes.
And I would think that, if I'm Tim Murray, I'm sitting there going,
you gave me this lineup.
Are you accusing me of putting together a peewee team? And that's the danger of that comment.
Well, I feel bad for them. We know Buffalo, Doug, is going to struggle this year. They're in that phase of the rebuild. But boy, this early in the season, you say that about the dressing room?
Well, look, they're in the Connor McDavid sweepstakes. There's no doubt about that. And don't ever kid yourself. Timmy Murray would be absolutely thrilled if he's there at the end of the year. But by the same token, you did bring in Gianta and Josh Georges and a few veterans to try to give some credibility there. And, Ted, coaches, that's the one thing you have to learn in post-game press conferences. The less you say, the better off you are.
How are you with that?
I was terrific at that.
And there is a fine line of maybe ending up with a draft pick that could get you a top three, including McDavid. And then there's also the fine line of not losing your fan base for a whole year. And you just said it about Florida. It's like, you know, you may sit there and say, okay, it's okay to have a bad year or two, but if you run the danger now of having a product that people are not supporting or even embarrassed to be associated, then it's really dangerous here. You don't want to, you can't just throw in the towel here and get your draft pick. There's a chance that there'd be too much damage off of that.
Good teams have bad nights. So a bad team, it's unfair to say that they're just going to work hard and put in an effort. So where does Ted Nolan, how does he handle that in trying to keep on top of his group and trying to get them to improve every day?
Ted, all he had to say was we were bad. We had a horrible game. End of conversation. And we've got to be better next game. And we've got some things we've got to work on. End of conversation. But to and look, it's easy to get caught with throwing the pee-wee comment, and you know, it's easy to have. But there's certain words that you say that stay with you all year.
And that's one of them.
That's one of them. You've got to be careful. And the players listen to everything that's said.
You remember what?
And the general manager.
You remember how Dallas Eakins reacted?
And the fans.
To the comments from the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, exactly.
Livid.
Exactly. And that was junior. That was a junior team.
That was a junior team. Yeah, right. So, but then to have
they were
coach.
Complimentary.
And the feeling is that, you know, it's not a match made in heaven between Nolan and Murray, because it was Pat LaFontaine was really the bridge on Nolan coming in. And now that he's gone, you just wonder if a comment like that only kind of throws gas on the fire a little bit here.
Thanks to WGR for the sound.
Teddy would like to thank WGR too for getting that over to us.
You guys okay with James Reimer going for Toronto?
I am. I'm fine with it.
Oh. Darren.
I'm okay with it.
He's given me a couple of shots that I was... look, I think Bernier's the number one guy. There's no doubt Bernier's the number one guy. You wrote off poor Reimer, and now he's...
I did write him off.
Yeah. And, but, I mean, maybe you're not wrong,
but
we'll see.
Listen, I don't think for 1 second Reimer will ever be a true bona fide number one goalie in the NHL.
Probably not.
But is he better than a guy that maybe only plays 10 or 15 games a season? He can be. Reimer has shown throughout his career that he can go in stretches of being on a lot of nights the best player on the ice. Okay? So if right now he's feeling good, he's feeling healthy off of the hit to the head, and I've got another goalie that started two games with two bad goals, and you're not even in a game three, then I'm fine with this start.
Yep. Listen,
if we're talking November, December on this,
I think he's a character guy, Reimer. I think he's a character guy. I think he's capable of being a good backup in the NHL. And I was surprised that he didn't take a chance to go on the market. And, you know, they gave him a good dollar to keep him. And I get that.
Why would Winnipeg pass on him?
Well, that's what I'm looking at. Exactly. I watched Hutchison being...
Why would Winnipeg have passed on
him? I watched Hutchison being pulled last night, and it's the first thing that jumped into my head. This is a young guy again.
They
want to get
him
in there. But I think, you know, and we talked about it last year that Reimer would be a fit there as a backup. And I thought it was time for Reimer maybe to move on and try to reestablish himself, like a Scrivens, similar situation. But he decided to stay. And he's a character guy. You know, and you know what? Guys, you don't make the playoffs in the NHL if you don't have two good goaltenders.
Part of the schedule tonight includes the Anaheim Ducks up against the Philadelphia Flyers, and head coach Bruce Boudreau will join us later on at Hockey Central at noon to discuss his team's performance out of the gate. Obviously, very good against the Buffalo Sabres yesterday, and an Anaheim club that's 2-1 so far.
He didn't say that Timo played like a peewee, did he?
You going to go there?
No. I'm not touching it.
Well, you better bring it up now when we talk to him.
Well, we have to.
We
have no choice but to bring it up.
Just sit back here and listen.
If you don't bring it up now, people are going to say, hey, he's running scared.
Soft.
I'll bring it up.
McLean, soft. Bruce was great how he handled that situation, by the way. He said, hey, I understand he was ticked off. He wasn't playing. I get it.
You know who was really good?
Getzlaf.
Who was he? The captain coming to defense and not just saying, hey, guys, sometimes speak. He could have been very neutral. He wasn't.
Not a chance.
He backed his coach. We don't know in the grand scheme of things, does he truly believe that? But he let us all believe.
And you know what he did? He killed it.
Yeah.
He ended it. Everybody loves Timo Soini. He's one of the greatest players to play in the last, you know. But I didn't like it. I didn't like the, you know, these books that come out with these shots. I don't like it, you know.
Why don't you write a book then? Get on the bandwagon, the gravy train.
Because then I'd never be able to work with you or Darren again. What I'd say about you.
He'd have to give me too much credit in his book. And he
You're right, because there has to be dirt.
You've made my, both of you have made my broadcasting career.
Totally. Yeah. You'd be selling condos full-time right now in PEI. Who are you kidding?
Yeah, because there has to be a little bit of a jab in there somewhere. You have to take a run at somebody.
No, I know. You deserve big-time credit for my career.
Well, you could take a run at somebody else. Yeah. It doesn't have to be us. There's got to be some people that you're not pleased with.
Well, look, Ken Reed, maybe I could do a hockey card book too.
No, he's already got that market.
Yeah. Could I not do a hockey card
book? No.
Were you in his hockey card book? Like, how do you work at Sportsnet and not get in that hockey card book?
He's the stupidest guy?
Seriously.
Honestly, how am I not in his book?
Yeah, I mean, you could have done for promotion and I could have done for promotion.
Ken, we love you, but bad move. Were you not in?
Did you go through?
No, not even a mention.
Really?
Not even a mention.
Maybe you'll be in the sequel. He's going to do another one.
You know, I've been asked.
Oh, he's going to do another one.
Serious.
Well, if I say it, he has to.
I did the flap for Pronger's.
I gave him a good story the other day, though. That's a good start for him.
Darren, what do you call it when you do a little thing in the cover? I did it for Pronger's book, and I did it for Clint Malarchuk's book, a little blurb on it. No Ken Reed. He's got Ivanka doing his.
Yes.
Well, he should have Ivanka.
Why would you have? Oh, anyway, let's not. I'm not going there.
Oilers get the. Two teams going into tonight.
I love
really, really under the gun. And we've got our three stars from last night coming up. Philadelphia at home to Anaheim and the Oilers in Los Angeles. Both the Flyers and Edmonton looking for their first wins of the season against really difficult opponents. But this second straight year, Philadelphia is going into the middle of the second week without anything to show for it.
Wow. They were hurting on the back end. I think they'll get Colburn back maybe this weekend. I don't think he's going to play.
Has anybody talked to Mr. Snyder how he thought training camp went?
No, I didn't.
So it's still out there?
I saw him walk by my office one time and his head looked like it was going to blow off the top because he was so mad.
Different general manager, Ron Hextall, has the control this year over Paul Holmgren.
And it appears that Ron's slow and steady wins the race here. And I don't know if that's ever been the philosophy of the Philadelphia Flyers the last, but he seems to have control of it. So,
yep. Ron's son, I believe, was the practice goalie yesterday and stoned them in the shootout, all the players in the shootout. Berube's like, see, it doesn't matter who plays.
And then baseball swung them in the shins.
We're not going to be able to get this done. But the Oilers, there's concern about Edmonton,
well,
too.
Well, I want to see the, you know, what have we heard about the Oilers all training camp is center ice position is a real challenge for them. And there's no doubt you've got, obviously, Nugent Hopkins, and then you go to Draisaitl, and then you're scrambling. And you got Gordon, who's a good lower guy in the lineup. So they go in against the best center ice in the league tonight with Kopitar, Carter, Stoll. You know, I mean, that's a tough center ice to go head-to-head with when that's your big weakness. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. One of the reasons the LA Kings won the Stanley Cup was their center ice position and how good they were and how deep they were and how effective every line was because the centermen they had were I thought, outstanding in the playoffs. So they're going against the, you know, an inexperienced center ice tonight in LA. That's a big challenge for Edmonton to see how they
stack up. Nugent Hopkins didn't practice the other day. I think Eberle didn't, Teddy Purcell too. So I would hope that they're available for this game. What'd you think of the fight? Ham Hoosen, the Nuge.
I liked it too.
I loved it.
Guess who didn't like it Saturday night?
Who?
Damian Cox. What a surprise.
Oh, he didn't like it?
No, he did not like it.
I liked it. I thought it shows Nugent Hopkins is,
he, you know what? Enough already. Let's be serious here. Let's be serious about where we're heading here. Let's not let this get sidelined. Let's show how bad we want to play and win. I thought Nugent Hopkins, you know, they're.
I tried to explain that to him Saturday night.
I'll tell you what, he looked like he's fought before. Now, we're not promoters of fighting on this show.
No.
You've matured just in that area.
Really matured.
You've matured in that area. But it shows that
I'm not ready to throw the towel in.
No, but it shows you
like
care.
Nobody, but.
Yeah, I thought it showed he cared. I was pleased with it. You don't want him getting hurt, but
also looking forward to New Jersey undefeated 2-0 against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are rolling. When we continue, the three stars will chat with Bruce Boudreau on Hockey Central at noon. And, ladies and gentlemen, Ted Nolan, after giving us a beauty last night, followed it up with another humdinger.
Not again.
Not
only that, I have the best quote of the week, and it didn't belong to Teddy Nolan's Pee-wee quote.
All right. So Teddy Nolan and Kippers addition to the show. Jeff Hextall, Ron's son, was the goaltender yesterday. On Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, simulcast on Sportsnet and the NHL Network in the United States.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Looking forward to a doubleheader tonight on Sportsnet 360. Calgary, Nashville, followed by Edmonton, Los Angeles. Welcome back to Hockey Central's brand new studio. Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean.
Studio 41.
Bruce Boudreau coming up in just a moment. Game day for the Ducks against the Philadelphia Flyers. This one will be a little bit tougher. We've also got that follow-up quote from Teddy Nolan in just a bit. But first, the three stars. I will go first. We each get a star from last night. Steven Stamkos equaling the Buffalo Sabres in shots on goal himself with the hat trick, as the Tampa Bay Lightning rolled over the Montreal Canadiens. And it was an opportunity for Montreal to start 4-0. And every time they've done that, the previous three times in their franchise's history, they've won the Stanley Cup. So that was on the line last night, and it was a big, big thud. But Steven Stamkos on his game obviously is a player that we were worried about with the playoffs last year, and then the recovery in the summer, came back from the injury.
Worried. Were you worried?
Suffered a minor setback this summer.
I talked to Scott Mellenby last night, assistant GM for the Montreal Canadiens, and he was worried about Stamkos last night.
So
a good worry.
Not about his injury.
A good worry.
He worried
him
about him getting a hat trick.
So he responds with a hat trick. Kippy?
I'm going back to Buffalo. And I'm going to take Anderson, not Craig Anderson, but Frederick Anderson. A dozen shots. The mere fact that this guy didn't fall asleep during this game is, I think, worthy of a star.
Well, yeah.
Where are you going, Mac?
I'm going with Craig Anderson, because he could have fallen asleep too, because the shouts of Lou, you know how they're always in a game where Lou Wongo plays? You couldn't really hear a splattering of Lou's, but not many. Craig Anderson was good. 30 saves, shutout. His record against Florida since he's left there is 11-2-1. He made a couple key saves. He got help from a couple goalposts. But you know what? He was real solid and real sharp. And that's after Leonard had a win, he comes in and gets the win. He looks like both their goaltenders look like they're off to a good start in Ottawa, which is real important for that team to get in the playoffs.
Buffalo is humbled by the Anaheim Ducks, who move on to Philadelphia tonight. Here is their head coach, Bruce Boudreau. That was a different game yesterday. Kippy was talking about Frederick Anderson, but how do you coach and keep the guys going when you're controlling the puck and the possession and the game so much?
Well, we kept pushing because we kept saying, you know, they're going to get better, and we only had a 1-0 lead after one. And 2-0 after two, and you know they get a power play, and you never know, and they score a goal, they're right there.
You could jump all over your team too today, because you can say, look, their coach said we only beat a Pee Wee team, so the next game we gotta be a lot better.
Well, I think, you know, I'm not gonna ever call an NHL team a Pee Wee team, but I think we caught them on a good night. And but tonight's game should be an awful lot tougher. That's for sure.
Hey, Bruce, we were just talking about Anderson. It's pretty rare in this day and age that we talk about legitimate Stanley Cup contenders and goaltenders with, you know, very little experience at the NHL level. How do you manage that, and how do you keep it from being overwhelming for either one of these kids?
Well, I think with Freddie, he played in an awful lot of tough situations for us last year, and his demeanor and his character, he's just a very quiet guy that nothing seems to bother him. And as far as Gibson goes, I mean, he's played on every world stage there is, and we put him in some tough positions in a Game 7 opening night in Pittsburgh in his hometown. I mean, so I think over the course of the year, they're going to really toughen up if they're already not tough enough, and I think they'll be fine. They're both very good young goalies.
Bruce, this summer, I mean, an aggravation that you don't need, and you know, I think the group should be complimented on how you handle it and how Getzlaf handled it, the whole Timo Solani thing. I mean, one of the greatest players ever, and you don't need that aggravation. And, you know, I'm sure you like Timo a lot as a guy, and it's an unfortunate thing, but I thought it was stamped out really quickly by the way you guys dealt with it.
Well, thanks. You know, and I mean, I think a lot of what he said was in frustration of losing in Game 7, and you know, he didn't play as much as he'd done the rest, you know, the whole year. So I can understand it, but I've had many conversations with Timu since then. I think we're fine. And, you know, he is the icon of Southern California hockey and one of the greatest names in this game. So, you know, I'll never say a bad word about him, because he was never not nice to me, to my face. So I hope it's over, and let's let it be over at that, I guess.
Chatting with Bruce Boudreau, Anaheim Ducks head coach. Just curious, did you reach out to him when you heard about it, or did he call you? How did that go down?
No, he called me.
And what was the tone of that conversation? Can you share anything?
Yelled at him again.
No. No, you know what? I think it's, Doug, it's all been done, so let's just end the whole team thing right
there.
Stop
trying to keep it going, Darren.
Curious, don't you want to be that fly on the wall? And good on Timo then.
He's a class act. He is, and yeah. I think, you know, probably he could go back and maybe handle it a little differently. Maybe
might have waited out that section of the book.
Might be the case. Hey, let's. I want to talk about Getzlaf, and we saw that controversial goal the other night. And hey, sometimes they go for you, sometimes they go against you. But I look at two guys in particular, Bruce, over the course of the last few years that have gone from good players to great players. And I say Jeff Carter and Ryan Getzlaf. And it's almost as if Ryan and Jeff woke up at some point in the last couple of years and said, okay, enough's enough. I'm taking these games over. You think that might be the case with Getzlaf?
That's a fair assessment. Because I mean, we go as well as Getzy goes, and or since I've been here anyway. And when he's on top of his game, which is more times than not, then we're usually successful, which has been more times than not. So I think he's grown as such a leader in the three years that I've been here that it's really a sight to see. He started out as a guy that he was captain when I got here, and he really was trying hard, but he knows now that this is his team. He is very in control of the room, and we have a good relationship. So, and he plays every night like it's a cup game. So, I mean, he's turned into one of the best players in the league, if he wasn't already one.
And by the way, you got a really good gift there on the non-call. You do realize that, right?
No. Hey, let's start from the beginning here. They should have had an interference call when Getzy pushed the puck by him, and he didn't touch his skates. If you look at him, he toe-picked.
See, that won't get away when we have that camera on their helmets now. It'll pick that stuff up. So
listen, watch it closely, and you'll see.
Bruce, you know, you've gone from an overabundance of goaltenders in Anaheim where you don't know, you know, you're saying, wow, they got four or five deep in goal, and all of a sudden guys have moved on, and you're left with Anderson, who obviously you like a lot, and Gibson, who's a great young goaltender. is this goaltending Stanley Cup caliber? Obviously, you believe it.
Well, we believe it right now, and it's October. I mean, we'll keep going with them. We believe in these guys, or I'm sure Bob Murray wouldn't have made the moves in the summer that he did. But it's they've never let us down as far as overall what they've done. So there's no reason to think that they can't get it done.
Your impressions of Ryan Kesler?
I really like him. I mean, I never knew him at all, but you know, you'd heard that he was a great player and sometimes moody. He's great with the guys in the room. He is all business. He comes to play and he plays hard every night. And he's better than I thought he was.
Hey, let me ask you on a personal note, how many years you got left on your contract?
What do you want? I got three.
You got three. Okay. I'm just curious because I'm getting the feel now from some other coaches that they're awfully intrigued about the Detroit situation with Babcock. And as a player, you always wanted the next guy to make as much money as he wants to raise the bar. You think there's other coaches now watching this thing going, oh, I hope he hits one right out of the park because I'm coming up next.
Well, I'm sure that is something that there are other coaches in the league looking at right now.
But Bruce isn't.
But I'm not. So I'm happy I am. I'm happy what I'm doing. So,
Bruce, I'm just trying to make you more money, bud.
I know. I appreciate it. But but you know what? I never had any, so I'm happy where I am.
You're not trying to make Bruce more money. It's always about you making more money.
Well, part of it, Gabby, I don't think that you have the same multiple car commercials and the different spots that you had in Washington. You got to supplement that somehow.
No Benz commercials?
No, I think my commercial days are long over.
Leave that Stanley Cup compartment out of the next commercial and the ice cream and the Christmas shopping commercial.
Yeah, how'd that work out for me?
I love the chicken wing part, though, in the HBO. You got to love that, bud.
Well, you do. I didn't have to.
How much of what you guys do is centered around trying to match up as well as you can against the team that's across town from you in the LA Kings?
Well, I mean, I heard you guys talking about it earlier. There's no secret that they have four great centermen and they're big and strong. And I think when it comes time to push and come, you know, if you make the playoffs, that you need four big, strong centermen to be able to compete with those guys. And the San Jose's, who's got big, strong centermen. So it's a tough division. And, I mean, we have to try to match up, I think, with Ryan and Ryan, that we got two of the best.
Hey, Bruce, the whole rivalry in California, you know, sometimes you want to push some things and manufacture something that might not necessarily be there. But with two out of the three teams now of Stanley Cup champions – and San Jose still knocking on the door, man. This thing has really turned into something special, hasn't it, for the league?
It certainly has. And California hockey in general has really turned into something. I mean, where 10 years ago you wouldn't have thought of it, definitely before Gretzky you wouldn't have thought about it, but there are so many teams playing high school hockey, club hockey. It's grown. The rinks are sprouting up all over the place. So it's been an incredible growth, and I think you're going to see it even grow stronger in the upcoming years.
Bruce, your young blue line, led by Fowler, how good can they be? And I mean, I thought they had a phenomenal year last year for you, high picks, but just young guys that really took a big step for you, starting with Fowler.
Yeah, I think he did. I mean, Cam's first year that he was a plus player, he'd been minus 25, 28. And, you know, Jay Leach once told me, he said, you need 300 games in the NHL as a defenseman to learn how to play the game, and because it's such a tough position to play. And I think Cam was approaching his 300th this year, and he got better and better. Hampus Lindholm got better each day. Sammy Vatanen's going to be a really good young defenseman. He's just not big. So, I mean, all those guys really taken giant steps, I thought. And you add into the veterans that might not have the great names as far as putting up points, but the Boschemans and the Lovejoys and the Brian Allens and Fistricks and even and Clayton Stoner, who we got from Minnesota, have all really stood up and did a great job for us.
Should Ovi play the left side or right side?
Well, I think the left side's his spot, but I'm not the coach, so...
What? Don't go there, Bruce. Hey. Don't go there.
Gabby, what do analytics tell you?
Analytics said no.
I haven't seen any.
Said he should be on a third line.
Do you buy into that? Are you a guy that uses that, or are you a field guy?
Well, you know what? I think they all have their point, their place. But, I mean, you wouldn't tell me last night that analytics were going to describe on how the game went against us with Buffalo. I mean, the things that they don't say is sometimes what's that third line, who are they playing against? You know, and they might be playing against the best line in the other team. Of course, they're not going to have the possession time all the time, but they might be doing a great job against them.
Hey, you enjoy watching the show in the States now?
Pardon me?
You get to watch the show in the States now, eh?
Well, I'm watching it today.
We
just
love it.
Just because you're on?
No, because we're in a good hotel.
Thanks for doing this. Always fun catching up
good
with
luck,
you,
Bruce.
And continued success.
All right, you guys take care.
There's Bruce Bye-bye. Boudreau on a game day.
NHL, all good hotels.
Philadelphia Flyers. So you ready for Teddy Nolan?
What did Teddy hit us
with? So remember
today?
Yesterday he said it looked like an NHL team playing a Peewee team, his team being the Peewee team. Followed it up this morning by saying... This is what he said to WGR. Sometimes it just looks like certain players don't care. It's not just one or two guys. It's a handful.
I really
now
think
he's really going after this group.
I think he was very complimentary when he said it was only a handful. He should have said both hands.
Yeah, but you know what,
but
Matt?
Don't say
you
anything.
Were pretty emotional last night.
Stay out of it.
It just everything should be positive today. Should have just left it last night with the Pee-wee comment and just turn around and say, sun's up, it's a new day. I don't know why he wanted to go down there that path again.
Some days when you're coaching and managing in the NHL, some days it's really hard for the sun to come up.
It's Carcillo.
Yep.
Scored a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His quote was, I better start slowing down. I don't want to price myself out of the league.
Well, this is on the heels of what Patrick Kane said about Carcillo.
I love it.
We don't need... all skilled guys.
By the way, you guys give me a shot about me saying Rick Nash was on pace for 82. I think he still is, isn't he?
Who gave you a shot?
No, it was John Shannon.
Listen,
yeah.
When will John the official Shannon. Announcement come that you're the godparent of his...
Of McLaren.
Of McLaren.
Congratulations Nash. To Rick Nash and Jessica. That's
is that a tough gift to come up with now? Or are you just going to go with the cash?
It's great.
Cash in an envelope for the
Rick,
baby.
I've given Rick enough cash in his career. I don't have to... There's the one thing I don't have to give Rick is money for his wedding gift.
Whose money was it? Yours?
Mr. McConnell's. But
there you go.
We will... I'd like to go on the site and look at what thing... You know, how people put what they want.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way...
Candlesticks. Candlesticks make a good gift.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
It's a foreword, by the way, the thing that you write in the book.
Forward, yeah.
Yeah. Nine games tonight. Philadelphia, Dallas, Buffalo, who play Carolina, and Edmonton, all searching for their first win. We have a doubleheader on Sportsnet 360, Calgary, Nashville, and Los Angeles at home to Edmonton.
So what do we think of this new studio?
I felt bad, by the way. I said to Jeff Rimmer the other day, and I should never have said it. I said... The buffet that they gave us here on Wednesday night for the national game was better than the buffet he supplied at his daughter's wedding that I went to this summer.
How about the chicken wings last night in Florida? How many did you have?
I had three wings.
Three.
I got there. I was
three.
The pot was empty.
Three
was
a period. Maybe we'll
believe
you. I
wasn't happy about that either.
So any of these teams get off the schneid tonight? Well, we know
Carolina,
Buffalo or Carolina.
Buffalo,
one of them will. Who?
I think Buffalo will bounce back
I
after.
Too.
Yeah, I really do.
I'm nervous for Carolina season.
But we had the Eric Staal conversation yesterday. And I don't think it's too early for that right now. Thanks to Bruce Boudreau for stopping by. Thanks to the entire engineering team. Tony, Cam, Jen, Glenn, Brett for making it possible.